Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're all about getting to the heart of complex topics, right? Of, really understanding something thoroughly but also efficiently. I feel like we all crave those aha moments where things just click. So that's exactly what we're doing today. We're going deep on trauma.
Drama.
It's something that honestly can feel a bit intimidating to unpack, but we've got you covered. You've gone through a whole stack of articles breaking down the science, the experiences, the impacts. Our goal here is to give you that solid foundation, that core understanding without overwhelming you. It's about extracting those golden nuggets of knowledge.
Yeah, it's about those key insights,
Yeah.
making it digestible.
Exactly. So think of this deep dive as your guide to really grasping what trauma is all about. The different ways it can show up, how to recognize the signs, in yourself or maybe even in others. We're going to look at how it affects us both mentally and physically, and we can't shy away from the tougher stuff, right? We're talking about those mental health conditions that can sometimes be linked to trauma. And of course, we're definitely exploring the paths to healing and recovery.
It's a multifaceted topic, for sure.
It really is. So, to kick things off, let's start with the basics. When we say trauma, what are we actually talking about? What's that core definition?
Well, at its heart, trauma is really about a deep psychological wound. It's an injury, that happens within us when we go through something that just overwhelms our ability to cope emotionally.
Like our system overload.
Yeah.
Exactly. These events are often shocking, harmful, even life-threatening. And it's not always a one-time thing either. Sometimes it's a series of events or an ongoing situation that creates that trauma. And what's important to understand is that it doesn't just affect us emotionally. It can have a huge ripple effect on our physical and mental health, both immediately and way down the line.
So it's not just about how we feel in the moment. It's about the long-term consequences.
Absolutely. It's a long game.
Okay. Now, let's say someone's just experienced something traumatic. What are some of those immediate signs? Like, what might they be feeling or doing in those first few days?
Well, right after a traumatic event, it's common to see a whole range of reactions. I mean, think about it. Your whole world's been shaken up. It's normal to feel intense anxiety. Some people have flashbacks where the event comes back in vivid, almost hallucinatory detail. It can feel like it's happening all over again.
Wow, that's intense.
It is. And sleep is often disrupted. Many folks struggle to fall asleep or stay asleep. You might also see someone in a state of shock, emotionally numb or disconnected from reality. And sometimes denial kicks in. It's like a defense mechanism, a way to
Wow.
try to block out what happened because it's just too painful to process at that moment.
It makes sense. Your brain's trying to protect you in a way.
Exactly. It's trying to figure out how to deal with something so overwhelming. But underneath all of that, there's often this persistent sense of fear, a feeling of helplessness, like you have no control over what's happening. And it's crucial to remember that these reactions, they're not signs of weakness.
Right.
They're actually quite normal responses to an incredibly stressful situation.
It's like your body and mind are screaming, hey, something's wrong.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so we've talked about the immediate aftermath, but trauma isn't a one-size-fits-all experience, right? It can take different forms.
Absolutely. And that's where these categories come in. We talk about acute trauma, chronic trauma, and complex trauma.
Can you break those down for us?
Of course. Acute trauma, that's what we usually think of when we hear the word trauma. It's a single sudden event, like a car accident, a natural disaster, a violent assault. It's the kind of thing that really throws you for a loop, leaves you in shock.
Okay, so that's the sudden, intense kind. What about chronic trauma?
Chronic trauma, that's more about prolonged exposure to something harmful. Think long-term abuse, domestic violence, living in a war zone. It's that ongoing stress day after day that really takes its toll over time.
Wow, so it's not just the event itself, it's the duration, the fact that it keeps happening.
Precisely. And then there's complex trauma. This is a really important one to understand because it involves multiple traumatic events, often interpersonal in nature, and it usually happens during crucial developmental periods like childhood.
Ah, so this is where things like childhood neglect or repeated abuse come into play.
Exactly. And the thing about complex trauma is that it can have a really deep impact on how we regulate our emotions, how we form relationships, even our sense of self. The effects can be really far-reaching.
Yeah, it makes sense that something happening during such formative years would have a profound effect. And, it's kind of unsettling, but our sources mentioned that a huge percentage of people in America, something like 87%, have experienced some form of trauma in their lives.
It really is a staggering statistic. It really highlights how prevalent trauma is in our society And I think it's a reminder to be more compassionate and understanding with ourselves and with others, because you never know what someone might be carrying with them.
That's a really good point. So we've talked about different types of trauma, but let's get even more specific. What are some other common causes, besides the examples we've already mentioned, and what are some of the symptoms that might show up beyond just anxiety and flashbacks?
Well, when we talk about the causes of trauma, it's often about these sudden, intense, overwhelming experiences, situations where people feel like they have absolutely no control.
Like that feeling of being completely powerless.
Exactly. We see sexual trauma in all its forms, different types of family trauma, like you mentioned, neglect, emotional abuse, even the sudden traumatic loss of a loved one. And then there are those large-scale events like natural disasters, which can be incredibly disruptive and terrifying.
Yeah, anything that really shakes your foundation and makes you question your safety.
Right. And those events that can really shatter our sense of security in the world make us feel incredibly vulnerable. As for symptoms, there's a whole range. You've got shock, where someone feels numb and disoriented. Fear can become a constant companion, leading to that heightened anxiety we talked about. Anger is another common reaction, often stemming from that feeling of helplessness, that lack of control.
It's like your body's trying to fight back against something it couldn't control in the moment.
That's a great way to think about it. And then, of course, there's sadness, sometimes deep and prolonged. And a lot of people struggle with concentration and focus. They just can't think straight.
Makes sense. Your brain's dealing with so much already.
Right. And that feeling of helplessness can become so pervasive, it impacts every area of life.
It seeps into everything.
It does. And then on top of all of that, there are the physical symptoms, like constant fatigue and difficulty sleeping. Trauma takes a toll on the body, too.
It's a whole body experience.
For sure.
It's heavy stuff. But I think it's so important to emphasize that even with all of this, recovery is possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's one of the most important messages to get across. There is hope. There is a way forward.
So what are some of the things that can help someone heal after trauma?
Well, developing active coping skills is really essential. It's about having tools to manage those difficult emotions, to regulate your nervous system. Things like mindfulness practices can be so helpful for grounding yourself in the present moment.
Yeah, I can see how that would be useful for dealing with those intrusive thoughts and anxieties.
Exactly. And of course, therapy plays a crucial role. There are so many effective therapies out there that can help people process their experiences, develop healthy coping mechanisms, and start to rebuild their lives.
So it's about having that safe space to work through everything.
Yeah, having that support is so crucial. And it's not just about professional help. Having strong social support networks, whether it's family, friends, or even a support group, can make a huge difference. It's about feeling connected, understood, not alone in this.
It's like having a safety net.
Exactly. Having people you can rely on, who can offer a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on, that's invaluable in the healing process.
Earlier, you mentioned how trauma affects the brain. Can you tell us a bit more about those neurological mechanisms, like how it actually impacts us on a physical level?
Sure. One of the key things to understand is the role of the amygdala, this little almond-shaped structure in the brain. It's basically the fear center. And it's super important for processing emotions, especially those related to threat and danger. When we experience a traumatic event, the amygdala can get stuck in overdrive. It's like the alarm system gets triggered and can't shut off.
So it's constantly on high alert.
That's exactly it. And that can lead to those persistent feelings of anxiety, hypervigilance, that sense of being on edge all the time. And that constant state of alert can actually start to interfere with other brain functions, like memory and concentration.
Oh, wow. So it's not just the emotional impact, it's affecting our cognitive abilities too.
Yeah, it can make it hard to think clearly, to focus, to remember things. It's like the brain is so busy scanning for danger that it can't do its other jobs properly. And then, of course, there's the impact on our physical health.
Right. You mentioned things like chronic pain and gastrointestinal issues. How do those connect back to trauma?
Well, think about it. When we're stressed, our body releases all these hormones, cortisol, adrenaline. It's that fight or flight response kicking in. And in the short term, that's helpful for survival. But when it becomes chronic, when those stress hormones are constantly flooding our system, it can wreak havoc on our bodies.
It's like our body's stuck in emergency mode.
Exactly. And that can lead to inflammation, weaken the immune system, disrupt all sorts of bodily functions. So those physical symptoms, the chronic pain, the digestive issues, the headaches, those are often the body's way of saying, hey, something's out of whack here.
Right. It's like the body's keeping score, even if we're trying to ignore it.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, so we've talked about those short-term and long-term effects. What about the broader impact on different areas of life?
Well, emotionally, trauma can really increase the risk of things like anxiety disorders and depression. And it can make it really hard to regulate emotions, leading to things like mood swings and difficulty managing anger or sadness. It can feel like you're on an emotional roller coaster you can't get off of.
Yeah, it sounds exhausting.
It is. And then physically, there's the chronic pain, the fatigue, the weakened immune system, like we talked about. And then socially, it can be really hard to maintain relationships, to trust people, to let people in. It can lead to isolation and loneliness.
It's like this web of interconnected challenges.
Absolutely. It affects every aspect of who we are.
Yeah. Now, we need to talk about the link between trauma and specific mental health conditions. It seems like PTSD is the one that's most commonly associated with trauma. Is that right?
Yeah, post-traumatic stress disorder, or
Yeah.
PTSD, is definitely the most well-known consequence of trauma. It's what people often think of when they hear the word trauma.
So what exactly is PTSD?
Well, it's a mental health condition that can develop after someone experiences or witnesses a traumatic event, and it has some pretty hallmark symptoms. There are the intrusive memories, the flashbacks, the nightmares, where it feels like the event is happening all over again.
Like you're reliving it.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's avoidance. People with PTSD will often go to great lengths to avoid anything that reminds them of the trauma, whether it's certain places, people, activities, even thoughts and feelings.
It's like they're trying to create a bubble around themselves to keep the trauma out.
That's a good analogy. And then there's hyperarousal, which can show up as difficulty sleeping, being easily startled, feeling on edge all the time. It's like your nervous system is stuck in overdrive.
So essentially, your body's always in fight or flight mode.
Exactly. And what's important to remember is that while not everyone who experiences trauma develops PTSD, a significant percentage do. And for those individuals, these symptoms can be really debilitating, affecting their work, their relationships, their overall quality of life.
Yeah, it's not just a matter of getting over it. It's a real condition that requires support and treatment.
Absolutely. And remember, as we talked about earlier, things like complex trauma can make the symptoms even worse.
Okay, so PTSD is the big one, but what about other mental health conditions that are linked to trauma?
Well, trauma can increase the risk of a whole range of conditions. For example, there are dissociative disorders, which are basically ways of disconnecting from reality, from yourself, from your memories. It's like your mind is trying to escape from the pain of the trauma.
So it's a coping mechanism, but not a very healthy one in the long run.
Right. And it can manifest in different ways, like memory gaps, feeling detached from your body, even feeling like you have multiple personalities.
That sounds really intense.
It can be. And then there's borderline personality disorder, which is often linked to early childhood trauma. It's characterized by intense emotions, unstable relationships, a fragile sense of self, and impulsive behaviors.
And I'm guessing depression and anxiety are pretty common too.
Very common. I mean, when you're dealing with the aftermath of trauma, it's natural to feel overwhelmed, sad, anxious. It's like your whole world has been turned upside down.
And those feelings can linger for a long time.
They can. And they can have a huge impact on every aspect of someone's life, their work, their relationships, their ability to function day to day.
Yeah, it's not just about the mental health symptoms themselves, it's about the ripple effects they create.
Exactly. It affects every aspect of who you are and how you interact with the world.
Okay, so given all of this, what does healing from trauma actually look like? What are the key steps involved?
Well, the most important thing is to create a safe and supportive environment. Trauma survivors need to feel like they can talk about their experiences without being judged, without feeling like they're going to be re-traumatized.
It's about feeling seen and heard.
Exactly. And a big part of healing is understanding what trauma is, how it affects us, and how our bodies respond to it. It's about learning about things like the fight or flight response, how trauma can dysregulate our nervous systems.
So education plays a role.
Absolutely. It's about empowering people with knowledge so they can understand what's happening in their bodies and minds. And then it's about developing coping skills, tools to manage those difficult emotions and reactions, to calm the nervous system. And ultimately, it's about fostering resilience, about integrating those traumatic experiences into our life story in a healthy way.
So it's not about forgetting or erasing the trauma. It's about learning to live with it in a way that doesn't control you.
You got it.
You mentioned therapy earlier. What are some of the specific types of therapy that are effective for trauma recovery?
Well, There are several that have really good evidence behind them. There's cognitive processing therapy, or CPT, which focuses on changing those negative thoughts and beliefs that can get stuck after a traumatic event.
So it's about challenging those unhelpful thought patterns.
Exactly. Then there's prolonged exposure therapy, or PE, which involves gradually confronting the things that trigger those trauma memories and feelings. It's about helping people learn that those triggers don't have to control them.
So it's about facing those fears in a controlled, safe environment.
Exactly. And then there's EMDR, which stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. It uses bilateral stimulation, like eye movements, to help the brain process traumatic memories in a less distressing way.
That's interesting. So it's about using the body to help the mind heal.
That's a great way to put it. And then there's narrative therapy, which focuses on helping people reframe their life stories to see themselves as more than just their trauma. And finally, there's mindfulness-based stress reduction, which uses mindfulness techniques to help people manage stress and difficult emotions in the present moment.
So it's about cultivating that awareness and acceptance.
Yeah. And all of these therapies, they can be really powerful tools for healing.
That's great to hear. And you know, one thing that stood out to me in our research was the emphasis on self-compassion.
Self-compassion is so important. It's about treating yourself with the same kindness and understanding that you would offer a friend who's going through something difficult. Because healing from trauma is not a linear process. There will be setbacks. There will be days when it feels like you're taking two steps back for every one step forward. And it's in those moments that self-compassion becomes so crucial.
It's about being patient with yourself.
Absolutely. And it's about forgiving yourself. Because often, trauma survivors carry so much guilt and shame, and that can really get in the way of healing.
So self-compassion is about letting go of that judgment.
Exactly. And remember, as we talked about before, having a supportive environment is crucial. Whether it's a therapist, a support group, or close friends and family,
yeah.
Having people you can lean on can make all the difference.
It's about not going through this alone.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been such an insightful exploration of trauma. It's a complex topic, but I think we've covered a lot of ground here. So to recap, the key takeaways are that trauma is this multifaceted response to really difficult events. It can show up in different ways, acute, chronic, complex, and it can have a huge impact on our mental and physical health. It's also linked to a number of mental health conditions.
Right.
But the good news is that healing is absolutely possible. There are effective therapies out there, and there's so much power in self-compassion and having a supportive community.
Exactly. And I think that's the most important message to leave people with. There is hope.
Absolutely. And on that note, here's a final thought to ponder. How might understanding trauma, even if you haven't personally experienced something we traditionally think of as traumatic, how might that understanding make you more empathetic, more supportive of yourself and the people around you?
That's a great question.
You know, we all face challenges, we all go through tough times, and having that deeper understanding of trauma, of resilience, of the human capacity for healing, I think it can only make us more compassionate and more connected. And that to me is a really beautiful thing.
I totally agree. It's about recognizing the shared human experience.
Absolutely.
And acknowledging that we all have the potential to heal and grow.
So true. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into trauma. We hope you found it helpful.
It was a pleasure.
And remember, keep exploring, keep learning, keep growing. We'll see you next time.
Until then.
Bye for now.
Take care.